Good evening. Welcome to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN LP 106.9 Salida. And we're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. This evening I have a special guest, Sarah Harvey. And Sarah is going through some problems with her husband being in guardianship. And actually what I'm going to do is let Sarah get into that in just a second here, but I do want to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sarah, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about your situation, and hopefully maybe the audience can kind of get a little bit of an understanding of, I have covered a little bit on guardianship with elderly, and now you're talking about a medical guardianship, correct?
Well, it's not really, it's a medical guardianship. You can call it about anything you want to call it. My husband's, you know, the baby boomer era, and he was 55 years old when he had his accident. And we live in New York, and a small rural town in Southern Tier. And, you know, he had an accident. He fell down our steps. It was just an accident. And he became brain injured like Terry Schiavo did. Bobby Schindler came here, and he's very supportive of me. That's Terry Schiavo's brother.
Uh-huh.
And my husband was transported to the hospital, and I didn't know, they told me that he would be okay. It was in the court record, police records and all of that, and then something happened, I don't know what. I mean, it was very, very serious, and he was in the ICU for 2 weeks, and we went up to another hospital, and so he could be on a ventilator, and he fought that. He was off it, and, you know, things looked really good for him, I thought, until I brought him back to my hometown because I had to go back to work. I took a 6 months leave off of work, and when I got him into the Chemung County Nursing Home, that's when my nightmares began because his care was very poor. I was concerned about things that I was taught up at Hornell, you know, the suctioning, and if I hear certain sounds, his trach was not inflated and what have you. And his trach, I mean, I took him outside for fresh air, you know, just stimulate him and doing everything I can, brushing his teeth, doing personal care on him and everything. And when I went back to work and I'd come into the room and my husband's laying in bile, his own feces for hours on end, you know, from head to toe. I'd go downstairs to the administrator, have him come up and say, look, this is how they're leaving my husband, flat on his back, and he is a tube feeder, and, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that to a tube feeder because they can regurgitate. They can regurgitate and they can vomit. And, you know, I was fearful that he could choke to death. And his trachea became defective. My husband's not on life support. I want to make that very clear. He's not on any life support. And the tube became defective where they pumped the air up in his balloon. And I complained about it, asked for the documentation of how they filled that balloon up. And, you know, they said, well, we know it's flat. It has a hole in it. So, you know, 2 weeks went by, and I go into the room, and my husband's laying flat on his back, and it's like, you know, if I'm not there, he could choke to death, and he could die. And the bulb was missing on it that you inflate the trachea. And so I told the nurse what I was going to do. I was going to cut the portion that was defective. I mean, he was pulling it out constantly because it irritated him. And and that would bring attention to the problem. So, and mind you, that my husband's appointed attorney knew all this stuff and beforehand, and he also knew that I was exonerated from all of these charges. The charge where I cut the fishing line, I was hotlined. And it took me 3 years to get that report, and it said that I was not the perpetrator in it. And my husband's attorney knew this back in 2006. And when I went into court in February of 2007, my attorney said he could not represent me because he works for Chemung County. He's an attorney. So he quit on me right there at the hearing. I had nobody there to help me in a legal matter that I had not a clue of, and I thought it was just going to be me, my attorney, and my husband's attorney, and here all these people show up. It was like I was sabotaged or ganged up on, I don't know what you want to call it. And this guy shows up. His name's Brian Maggs, and he's the lead counsel for Chemung County. And I don't know how he got there. He just appeared out of nowhere. You know, I petitioned for guardianship, and here these strangers, Adult Protective Service people, show up. And the judge appointed the county guardian, but before he appointed them, the first thing that comes out of Mr. Maggs' mouth is that he needed to look for the resources, the income, the money. Where's the money? Before he would accept the appointment. So a month later, I guess they did find the resources because I was bumped out and they depleted my husband's assets. And I've been fighting ever since to get my husband back. And I've been fighting, advocating for his care, which is very poor. He's had like 40 surgeries for his J-tube, his feeding tube, in a two-year time frame. And how many people I've talked to about this, they all say the same thing. You know, they've never heard of such a thing, never heard of somebody having that many tube changes for a feeding tube. And in May of 2009, they decided they wanted to end my husband's life by starving and dehydrating him. And it's kind of funny, you know, I truly believe, because I took my husband off my insurance, and they found out about it like a couple of months later. And I went to a care plan meeting in April of 2009 and asked all the questions, you know, how's he doing and da-da-da. And everybody, you know, the doctor said, oh, he's doing good, you know, he's as healthy as he can be and, you know, no signs of aspirating or, you know, nothing. You know, he was in pretty good shape. And then 2 weeks later, you know, my husband's transported over to the emergency room, and they found out that I took my husband off my insurance. And when they called me at work and said, does your husband have insurance? And I'm like, you need to talk to my attorney about that, because I hired another attorney at the time. And so they found out my husband wasn't on insurance, so they decided they wanted to end his life. And they went and got a court order to do that, and I went to the media. And I think that's what saved my husband, because you're not going to do this to my husband. I was the last person to find out, the very last. I mean, I couldn't believe that they took his ex-wife and his children that haven't seen him for years and had a meeting with them and talk about HIPAA privileges and all of that. I guess they do have a right to talk to anybody that they want about my husband's medical care and his health and everything, but, you know, they can't talk to me, his wife, who's supporting him with insurance and all of this through the years. And so they motioned the court for an order to show cause to end his life, and the judge gave him 10 days to come up with some medical records and, good information of why they want to end this man's life. And they couldn't, they just withdrew their motion, but they creatively put an unlawful DNR on him. And I tried fighting that. I mean, I can't because I don't have an attorney to help me fight anything anymore because they just bleed you dry. You know, I've spent over $65,000 on attorney fees. And so in December, they promised that they took my visitation away, saying that, my husband ran out of money. They can't pay for the guard anymore. I've been supervised for 4 years now, and I have to, when I go in, I see my husband for 6 hours a week, and I am being guarded, and yet all of these strange things have been going on with my husband. So they said that if I put my husband back on my insurance, they would restore my visitation. My husband's used to 3 or 4 hours a day, and that never happened. They lied to me about it. I put him back on my insurance, and they just kind of, hoodwinked me into it. And
how are you able to put him back on your insurance? I mean, I'm surprised.
Well, we have open enrollment.
It's
on and off. We do it every year.
Okay.
And, since before this Obamacare came in to effect, I think it's where if it's a pre-existing,
right.
I mean, because he was already on it, so, they know everything. But, I mean, if it was something new, they probably wouldn't accept him back on my insurance. But they did. I put him back on, and he's been on it until my company got bought out by another company, so I don't work for the same company. Insurance has changed and everything, so...
Did they allow you to continue? Would they have allowed you to continue it then?
Yes, they would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they would. I believe they would. I mean, I have been left out of my husband's medical that I truly, truly don't know what they did to this man. I mean, God is all over him. I mean, it's amazing what my husband's gone through, and he's still living and surviving and fighting to fight. I mean, he's a strong man. I mean, he's gotten septic from the hospital, and, my husband's not bringing the staph infections and all of this stuff into the hospital. Somebody's given this to him, and it's repeated over and over and over again. And, all I want is I want my husband home. I want to take care of him. I mean, I married him for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, and that's all I want to do. It just hurts me to see him lay there every day, and they don't even get him out of bed anymore. He's so atrophied. It's so terrible, and there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for any person to live like that. And, and I'm still continuing the fight.
So you're not able to take him to any kind of something that's not a full-blown hospital, something that might have a smaller amount of people involved, like you find in senior care? They have nothing like that?
My husband's a veteran, for one thing, and, the VA could have stepped in, but, the county, they're all over my husband. It's all about the income, and, I'm trying right now. In January, I went to court to a hearing, and the judge told the county that they had to cooperate with me because I asked for an independent medical exam. And also, I want my husband to have a second opinion. He's never, ever had a second opinion. They've always denied it. And I'm still fighting them on this. I mean, it's been since January 7th, and I still haven't gotten my husband. I want to take him to Cleveland Clinic. I mean, they've got the staff, the equipment, the state-of-the-art, you know, everything. And they could help my husband, or if, you know, do something to make his quality of care a little bit better than what it has been. I mean, he's so atrophied. I mean, it's so uncomfortable for him. They can't even get him in a chair anymore because they've just they've stopped doing therapy on him.
Now, how long has this been going on with your husband?
5 years.
And
you know, right now I have a court date set for March 18th. It's a conflict of interest. It's a conflict because all of the attorneys that surround my husband, they all work for the same law firm, and that is Davidson O'Mara. And, you know, the senator, I even went to him to ask him for help. I mean, these people work for you. And, you know, I did not know it, but the senator, that's his law firm. and he's a board member of the hospital that my husband resides. You know, so I put a judicial notice in to the judge and also the conflict. And when I went to court in January, I brought this up, saying that, you know, I want all of the attorneys disqualified because there's a conflict here. Well, the county attorney, Don Thompson, speaks up and says, "Your Honor, we at the firm waive that motion." You know, you can't do that. My husband didn't waive that. You know, and my husband's attorney just sits there and he changes the subject. I mean, he wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge that there was a conflict.
So are you running into other people with this kind of problem at all?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot out there, but, you know, I don't know if it's as bad as mine is. I mean, you know, this is my husband, for crying out loud.
Right, but I have run into situations where I'm hearing of other people with guardianship issues with their family members, particularly elderly.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it doesn't sound much unlike what you're going through.
I'm fighting the government.
Okay, now.
You know, I'm not fighting family. I'm fighting the
government. No, I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about the government stepping in and getting guardianship out from underneath family members, and just like what you're going through. And this is where I'm running in with Janet Phelan, have, you know, some of the issues that she has run into with some of her people that she's been dealing with, that this is...
She's got professional... I think she had a professional guardian, didn't she, or something like that?
Well, but what I'm saying is that she has run across... She's been fighting a Melody Scott that these people come in and get guardianship of these elderly people who then the family members are shut out and unable have anything to do with their the care of their own, you know, parent or and this is kind of similar to what is happening to you, right?
Right. Well, you know, they isolate my husband. They won't let anybody come in and see him. And that's what they do. If you're vocal and you want to start talking about care issues and stuff, they just want to shut you up and make you go away. So they isolate you from your loved one, and they medicate them. You know, they do all kinds of things.
And often, if they have any kind of an estate, they drain the estate.
Oh, sure, that's the first thing they take. And then, you know, if there is no income coming in, like my insurance wasn't a little nice little nest egg for them that they could, you know, take my husband down for surgery or, you know, medicine or whatever, you know, then they'll just try to end your life. I mean, that's happened in a lot of these elderly cases. I mean, I've heard them taken when the elderly people getting taken off Medicaid, they try to end their life. I mean, that's what happened to Latifah Ring's mother, I believe. her foster mother. I mean, they took her off Medicaid, and then they wanted to.
I've run into this in some other instances that made me suspect. It's nothing that I ever really followed through initially, but I have been wondering, you know, when I do sell insurance, but I used to wonder about when they kept raising the limits on certain, coverages. It made me a little bit uneasy about it because I had watched where they would drain the funds of the insurance company, and then after the insurance company doesn't pay anymore, then they can fall back on the estate again.
Yeah.
And so it makes you wonder how sometimes they try everything that's allowed to be done, and then, you know, it's like you said, then if there is no further recourse, then it falls back on you. And that's, but I explain a little bit further about why you think the guardianship issue came into this. I mean, because this is where it really gets interesting in your case.
Well, the guardianship issue is that Rita Gould, she's over several counties, and I truly believe they get federal funding for so many people in the community that they can have so many people in the community in order to get the federal funding. You know, it's like 5, 10, 12, half, you know, I really don't know what the exact amount is, but if you have so many people that are under guardianship, you do get federal funding.
Have you ever tried to look up any of the regs that might be attached to this?
Well, I have some people in the guardianship that I'm a member of, and they've been looking, and they said that's exactly what it is. There's a gal out in California, and she's looked into a lot of the stuff, and she was actually telling me that the hospital that my husband resides at, they tried to close it down through the Burger Commission, and I didn't familiarize myself with any of that stuff because I'm too busy trying to do my legal work and fighting for my husband. You know, I mean, when they tried to end his life, they put an affidavit in there saying that, you know, there's no more studies to be done on my husband. And I'm like, what do you mean more studies? What have you been doing to my husband, for crying out loud, for the past 3 years? You know, more studies to be done. And then they also put in the affidavit that they couldn't do any more surgeries to him. And it's like, since that day, he's had 16 of them. 16 of them since 2009. You know, for the same thing, slit tubes. You know, how do these tubes get slit? I called the manufacturer and spoke to a high qualified technical clinical specialist there, and you know, she tells me that, you know, it sounds like somebody's cutting them with scissors.
So,
I mean, it just sounds kind of, you know, odd. I mean, my husband has to go through surgeries, and you know, they say he can't go through any more surgeries, but, you know, since he's back on my insurance, well, you know, I guess he can have surgeries again, and he can have infections. You know, I fear for his life every day. I mean, he's getting bed sores that are, you know, it's obvious. They're not taking very good care of him in order for him to get bed sores, and they're not even getting him out of bed anymore.
Okay, I'm talking to Sarah Harvey, and she's trying to fight with, I guess it is the state, correct? State of New York?
Yeah, it's the government. It's the county government.
In New York, over the being able to bring her husband home to be under her care. And what has happened is that they've taken your right to have him in your home under your care away from you. And you know, and like I said, you haven't run across other cases in the same similar vein, or have you?
Not like I am, no.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've seen it where they've probably taken kids out of their homes, adult protective services come in, but, you know, the kids eventually get to go back home.
I had a good question there a minute ago, and it just went out of my head here. But, you know, it's just, it kind of behooves me to see how, I mean, if you have an organization and it's tied to money and this group that you're talking to, what else have they, you know, been letting you know that you need to be watching out for, or others, you know, that might come into a similar circumstance?
Well, the first thing you need to do is get a power of attorney or something if you're talking about your elderly person or your loved one, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, even your husband or wife. You know, get all that stuff in writing, because we didn't have no direct advances or anything like that. Just, you know, what was communicated between us, because we never thought anything like this would happen. And even then, I guess, from what I understand, a lot of people do have a POA or something like that, and they don't enforce it. Somehow these guardianship, these people come in, and what they do is they look for if there's a family dispute or something. That's the first thing they look for. And if there's a family dispute, well, we're going to have to appoint a guardian because, you know, the brother and the sister don't get along.
And so, I mean, you went about this blind, and you're learning all this from
yeah, experience and from other people telling me their stories.
And so you even contacted the governor of your state over this?
Yeah, I contacted Governor Cuomo, and, you know, I haven't heard anything from him. I didn't even get one of my normal acknowledgement letters saying, yeah, we looked into this, but you know what? It's a legal matter, and we can't help you. We advise you to go get an attorney. You know, it's like you people are the ones that created this monster. I didn't. I just want my husband home.
But you did have an attorney, didn't you? I mean,
I did on and off. I mean, I did, not when I'm writing to Cuomo and all these people. I mean, you know, the attorneys don't help. I mean, sometimes they make the problems even worse than what they are. I mean, the litigation is what kills you. I mean, I've been fighting for 3 years just to look at the medical records, and, you know, he didn't help me at all. I mean, he drained my bank account just fighting over the to get the medical records. And when I was finally granted to access to the medical records in 2009, October of 2009, I didn't have any money to pay for the medical records because it was going to cost me over $5,000 to make copies of them.
Really? So they'd... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, you know... what I did was I finally got, you know, access to them again, and I'm in the process right now setting up time frames so I can go down to the hospital and scan them, and it won't cost me nothing just to scan them into my computer.
And they'll let you do that?
Well, yeah, I got permission from the county attorney. And what I would like people to know is, if, you know, out there, that to call these people and tell them to return my husband home. I mean, you know, they're complete strangers to my husband, and my husband wants to come home. He would never want to be languished in a stark environment in a hospital around strangers that don't care about him or love him.
Okay, now, have you ever had anybody, like an arbitrator, come in on this case?
What do you mean, like an arbitrator?
If I'm not mistaken, and this, I'm just going by memory at this point,
yeah.
But there should be like a third party arbitration that you may be able to go to in something like this. But I'd have to go back and look at this. But the other aspect is, do you have an insurance commissioner in your state?
You know, I do, and you know, I've contacted my insurance company when it was in New York, and, you know, they wouldn't investigate anything. You know, one time I sent them a letter, and they were going to actually do an investigation.
Are you talking about the insurance company or insurance commissioner?
Well, no, my health insurance. I wanted to do a level of care complaint, all right? And they were going to do it. They asked for all the medical records, and you know what? The guardian stepped in and said, no, that's violating HIPAA. We don't want you to coming in and do any kind of investigation. You know, and to me, the insurance company should be able to do that.
Okay, but have you ever contacted your insurance commissioner? That's a different entity.
No. What does the commissioner do?
Well, actually, I'll tell you what happened with me once is that I had some life insurance that had lapsed, and there is a law where there, or I don't know if it's policy. I believe it's a law, though. That it's been a while since I'd read up on this, but they had not contacted me to let me know that the policy was in jeopardy of lapsing. And so when I finally found this out, I called the company, and I was told by the company that they had tried to contact me, and, I didn't respond. Well, the thing is, I had moved, but I had not changed my phone number. And so I kept asking her, I sell insurance. I know that if you had contacted me, one way or the other, I would have definitely responded because I was not going to let this policy lapse. But she kept claiming that they had. So I contacted the state insurance commissioner. And it didn't take long before I was given the opportunity to get my husband's policy reinstated. So there's some laws that they have to act within, and they are kind of the advocate for the public. So it might be an avenue to look into. And I'm not saying that it's always going to work for you, but in this instance, if they hadn't have satisfied, my questions, I would have gone to the statutes and I would have found where because I was sure I was correct and that they had to have due diligence to contact the insured to let them know the policy was going to lapse.
Well, see, I didn't know. I contacted the New York State New York State Insurance, and I was explaining to them why would my insurance company keep paying for stuff that my husband did not get. These services, when my husband was over in the nursing home, he would be sent over to the hospital, and this is like three or four times a year he'd be sent over to the hospital for infections or what have you, and they would keep billing my insurance company for items and services that my husband wasn't getting because he wasn't there to receive them. And so I'd call up my insurance company. I'm like, look, I know for a fact he didn't get this stuff. He was over in the hospital. And they didn't care. So I called up the New York State and filed a complaint with them. And you know what they sent? They told me to go to the labor board and file a complaint with the labor board about the insurance company. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, I guess I'm not, because it would seem to me if you were contacting the New York State Insurance, that would probably be their insurance commission. But to contact the labor board, that might be something tied to your employer or occupation, maybe.
It could be, but it made no sense to me why I had to contact the labor board.
Right. Unless they were trying, thinking that what you were bringing up was something via your employer-employee benefit, something along that line.
Oh, yeah, you might be right about that.
Okay. So what I'm talking about is a different situation, because they're kind of an advocate between the consumer and the insurance companies. And I don't know about New York State, but I would have figured that they would have something similar to like the other states have. Where are you going to go from here? What do you I mean, you know, you're coming on various media trying to present your case.
Well, I'm trying to put the pressure on the county, you know, because they don't like me going to the media. And I'm looking for an attorney, somebody that can help me fight these guys, because I can't fight this county by myself. You know, it's me against all these attorneys and fighting the government. And it's so messy and so ugly. When an attorney comes, they look at it and it's like, oh, no, you know, because they don't see dollar signs in it. Now, if there was malpractice and stuff like that, you know, yeah, and they could do it on a contingency. But you know what? I don't care about the money. I just want my husband home. That's all I want.
Right. And
I mean, they've ruined my husband. They have, just with his health. I mean, I had such high hopes for him in the beginning. I mean, he was looking around, very active. I mean, a lot of people saw him, how active he was. And if he would have had the right therapy, the right connections, you know, who knows? He would have a better quality of life than what he does now. I mean, his health has gone down really bad since he's been confined and institutionalized. And, you know, he's treated worse than a criminal. I mean, he can't even have visitors. You know, friends want to come down and see him, and they turn him away and say no.
So are you still paying for his coverage? Or is that something that's automatically covered?
No, it's not automatically covered. I mean, he is on Medicaid.
Okay. So he because I heard you say something in the beginning, his estate, did you have to do something to separate out your estate from
his? Oh, no, they just come in and took it.
Oh, they did, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they said they gave me $143,000, and it's like, really? I didn't see a dime of that.
So are you going to owe money when this is all over?
Yes, I will. I mean, they've already got like a $35,000 judgment on me because I took insurance money and I wouldn't pay them, and I gave it to my attorney to help fight this battle. So my attorney commingled the funds. And I turned, you know, I wrote grievances on the attorneys. And you know what? The judges, you take them to the Professional Standards Committee. They don't do nothing. You know, I mean, they're just as crooked.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them are, but, you know, it just seems to me that everywhere I turn, I just get bowled right over. You know, I've contacted the Joint Commissions on all of the infections my husband's gotten, and, geez, you know, now the past 2 weeks, I have never seen so many white gloves in my life. Everybody's wearing white gloves now. You know, I mean, they should have done that a long time ago every time I complain about it. You know, they don't wash their hands. They go from room to room passing these germs around to people. You know, it's just not right.
Now, is he in a regular hospital or is he in some kind of a nursing facility?
He's in a Catholic hospital, and the Catholic hospital is the one that helped try. They're the ones that organized this little committee to end my husband's life between my husband's guardian and this Catholic hospital.
And other than finding evidence to them wanting to end it, what makes you so sure? I mean, other than this evidence, when you make that statement, I guess is what I'm trying to ask here. If I'm somewhat clear, I don't know.
What do you mean? His wife?
Yeah. I mean, is there something that has he used up his benefits or?
No,
okay.
No, absolutely not. I mean, today when I walked in there, you know, there was tubes laying on the floor. Tubes that they're going to plug right back into him so he can get another infection.
My goodness. And you can you stay there yourself?
No. I have a guard with me. I walk into the room, I have a guard with me. I am treated a lot differently than anybody else down there in that hospital, and I've been treated differently from the day I walked into that hospital.
And where's the rest of your family in this?
The rest of my family, it's too much for them to handle. They wouldn't even understand it. It's just me fighting for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have some support, you know, family and friends, but, you know, I kind of like leave people out of it because it's just, I try to take it on myself because I don't want to burden my troubles and problems with anybody. You know, people have their own lives, and I understand all that. And I try to be supportive of other people.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I can help, that's what I want to do.
Is there some kind of advocacy groups that you have been with or can get with to maybe help you in this situation?
You know, I've tried. I've got, I've got people like All American Life League that write letters and do prayers. And, Bobby Schindler, he does all he can. I mean, he's going to be coming to court with me next week. And he's written articles about my husband. And, Carrie Hutchinson's from Dakota Voice. She's one of my best friends. I mean, she's wonderful. She writes articles, and she's been there, very supportive of me. When I have really, really bad days, I'll be on the computer just bawling, and she'll pop in and, you know, she'll chat with me and cheer me up. I mean, she's an inspiration to me. But, you know, other than that, I try to take things on myself.
So what do you expect to happen or you want to happen in this court?
Well, this one court thing is about the conflict to disqualify all of the attorneys and hopefully get an attorney that will represent my husband. Because, New York State has two different guardianships. One's Article 81 and the other one's 1758. And my husband falls under the 1758. Because he is a traumatic brain injury. That's my husband. And the other one is just a mental disability. You know, you have to be institutionalized in a psychiatric center or something like that. That's not my husband. You know, he's not an Article 81, and that's what they have him under. And I have a habeas corpus that I petitioned, and that's going to be March 14th, where it's going to go to Albany, New York, and there's going to be a bunch of judges looking over what I submitted, and that was like a 216-page document.
Who's giving you advice and directing you in this direction?
I have a paralegal that's helping me in Indiana. His name is Tim Lehrman.
Okay.
And then I have NASCA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuses, that have been helping me, and Latifa Ring has been helping me, giving me, you know, contact people. She's a big advocate for the, you know, down in Washington, D.C.
Are you familiar with an Edwin Crosby III?
No.
You might look into him because he's been doing a lot of work around with VAs and getting and benefits and that have been kind of left out without much help.
What's his name?
Edwin Crosby III. There's a video on the internet, I believe it's on YouTube, where he does an interview there. I did an interview with him several years ago, and that's actually one on my website at www.givemesometruth.info, and gets into a little bit of the issues that he works around, but there might be something there that if he can't help you, he might be able to direct you in some avenues.
I wonder if do you know Patty Woodard?
Oh yeah.
All right, because she's been trying to help me. She's wonderful.
And as you're talking about the one out in Oregon, right?
Oh yes.
Really,
yes,
I had no idea she was.
With her today, I told her I had an interview with you tonight.
Okay.
And she said, "Oh, really?" She said she's going to try. I mean, she's been sick.
Right, right.
And anyway, she does things for VA too. She's given me all kind of contacts, and she hasn't given up on me.
Right. Because I wasn't sure. Slipped my mind as whether it was, it could have been Patty or Janet that I got your name.
It was Janet.
Okay, all right. I thought it was, but Patty, I have contact with all the time.
Yeah.
With this court case, if you get this accomplished, where do you think that will go for you? What do you think? What doors will that open?
It'll open all kinds of doors. I mean, one thing, it'll make a legal precedence, I think, because of this. My husband's in this gray area about the guardianship, and it will help other people that are going through what I have, you know, so that they don't have to live like this, so that, you know, their loved ones, it'll be, you know, cut and dry.
Then you're pretty optimistic, although there's a lot of reason out there to say that, I mean, if they've been so covered up so many other aspects of things,
right,
that should have been...
I'm hoping that they'll do the right thing because I have a really good legal argument. But, you know, the judges, you get a crooked judge, they can rule against you. You know, it's all in the judges' hands. They're the ones that are acting like God.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, when you were telling me somewhat of what was going on with the law firm that was in all the conflict of interest there, you might, you might get a little bit more in depth on what you were trying to show.
Okay. Well, my husband, his appointed guardian, that appointed guardian, her attorney, works for Davidson and O'Mara. His name is Don Thompson. Don Thompson is Rita Gould's attorney, and Don Thompson works for Davidson and O'Mara. And then we have Brian Maggs. He's the lead counsel for Chemung County, so he represents Don Thompson and Dorita Watterson and Rita Gould, and they all work for the county. And Brian Maggs works for Davidson and O'Mara. And then the hospital my husband resides at, that attorney works for Davidson and O'Mara.
Okay.
You know, so... And the judge, she used to work for Davidson and O'Mara. And my husband's appointed attorney, he used to work for the county. So you see where the connections,
right, right,
come into play. So it don't, no matter, you know, who do I go to when Adult Protective Services, who are supposed to protect my husband, are the abusers? Who am I supposed to go to? Because if I go to them and say, hey, you're abusing my husband, they're not going to admit it.
So and this is where I'm just wondering if they, you know, they're just going to keep you doing the runaround until he finally expires just because they've had enough time to finally, you know,
well,
expose
him. Well, I think they're probably hoping that my husband will pass before this comes about.
And so that's why you're seeing so much of this negligence taking place.
Well, it's been going on since the beginning, you know. I mean, healthcare has really gotten bad, and it's getting worse because, you know, they have those girls, the aides, they run their little rear off most of the time. You know, they're doing all of the work. I mean, they're coming in doing blood work now on my husband, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's... Like the nurses, all I see them do is passing out meds. You know, these are just my observations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they sit behind a desk and do paperwork. You know, I really don't know. Some of them work really hard. Some of them are really compassionate. They come in and they talk to my husband, and they're very, very good. But then you've got these other ones that come in, and, you know, they think they know it all, and they just... you know, they just got out of BOCES, or some kind of 10-month class, and they think they're an expert, and they just spend no time with the patients. And, you know, the healing process is, you know, you got to have a good environment and be compassionate to heal.
So there was never
have love.
So there was never any opportunity for you to be able to take your husband home.
Well, there was in the beginning because I had the VA. They gave me all the equipment and everything to care for him. I've got the bed, the Hoyer lift, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the county decided that they needed some money, I guess.
Hmm. Well, is there anything else that you'd really like to add to this to, you know, kind of get the message across to anybody else that maybe, yeah, I mean, because one of the reasons why I wanted to not only bring this up for you, but to make people aware that there's a lot of areas that seem to be people fall through the cracks and that are taken advantage of,
yeah,
with this health care, and it's, if we're not paying attention, it's real easy for things to just happen and nobody pays attention. And in your case, when you are paying attention, you're kind of just shoved aside.
Yeah, because, you know, I pick up on things. I mean, it's the government. They're making decisions for my husband, where he resides, what kind of medical treatment he can get, who can visit him. You know, they spend his money wherever they feel like it. You know, the government's doing this. This is what happens. And then they get to decide whether you live or die.
And so,
I mean, they just intruded into my life. They just barged right in and took my husband, and, you know, they divorced me from him.
And you never had a power of attorney? Is that what?
No, I'm married to him, though. Doesn't that count for something? I mean, shouldn't my marriage be counted for something? I mean, I should be able to have personal contact with my husband and love him. And you know, and show him my love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're just trying to break his spirit is what they're doing. They're trying to break his heart.
Now he's pretty cognizant of his, what's going on around him?
Sometimes I think he does, because I walk into the room and he knows I'm there. He senses me, and you know, he can hear.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't have him drugged up, you know, it's hard to tell, because the past 2 weeks, and something's really weird going on, because every time I contact New York State Department of Health or the Joint Commissions or somebody, they straighten up for a while, and I see the care being a little bit different. It's a little bit better, but, you know, give it a month or two and it'll be right back to the same old stuff again. And, you know, every time I call any of these agencies, they retaliate against me. It's just like when I submitted a whole bunch of court papers in November to the judge. They retaliated against me, and Brian Maggs cut my visitation off, period, in December, during Christmas again. I mean, this is the second time in 2 years that I have not been able to spend Christmas with my husband, the whole month. And he said that because of my behavior, he's going to stop my visitation. And he did, because I submitted a whole bunch of court papers.
And this is not, again, this is where I've heard of other cases where the family member has been cut out of the visitation rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You know, I have a marriage contract, and it's under the New York Code.
So, well, you know, Sarah, I thoroughly appreciate you coming on the program and trying to, you know, get the public aware of that these kind of cases
take
place.
Well, Janet recommended that I give out names and phone numbers for people to contact.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the first one on the list is Brian Maggs. He's the lead attorney for Chemung County, and if you just call him and tell him to let my husband come home, to release him, give him back, his phone number is 607-737-2982. The second attorney is Donald Thompson, and that is the Guardian Adult Protective Services attorney, and his number is 607-733-4635. The commissioner who is appointed my husband's guardian is, her name is Doretha Watterson, and her phone number is 607-737-5402. And my husband's designated guardian, Doretha, appointed Rita Gould, and her number is 607-737-5454. And the biggest culprit that I call that is responsible for my husband today and the deterioration of his care, because he could care less about my husband, and he's even pretty much put that in writing, is Kevin Mosier. And he is the Mental Hygiene Legal Service court-appointed attorney, and his number is 607-271-9083.
Repeat
that.
And
he also has a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Repeat that number again.
607-271-9083. He sold my husband out. You know, he gave them to Adult Protective Services, and that wasn't his job to do that. But these are the clients we like, is what he says.
My goodness. So, and I do have this, I will have this archived at www.gimmesometruth.info, and it's Sarah Harvey. And, Sarah, is there anything else that you'd like us to be aware of or contact or before we close for the evening?
Nope, just make the phone calls and put the pressure on the county.
Okay, and I want to again thank you for coming on the program and wish you luck and
okay.
And hope that something breaks loose
okay.
with this court case
okay.
that comes up.
Well,
so
thank you very much, Melody.
Okay, and I want to say good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Sarah Harvey, and again, she's got guardianship issues with her husband, and if there's anybody that wants to help her, if you want to contact me at the station or at www.gimmesometruth.info, and you want to contact her, I can go ahead and forward that on to her, and you can hook up with her as well. And my email is on that website.